Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. So glad you could join us. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time, but because we're on digital platforms, you can share this far and wide, and we're going to need the marching feet of the great ignorant masses. And we still have a lot of them out there. People are waking up, and more people are becoming determined. It is true, we've made progress, but we're not making progress fast enough, and so we need big, big numbers soon, soon, soon. So please share this. Excuse me, and I got to take care of a little business before we start. But this is important business, and Bob Griswold, our guest, coming up. We had a discussion off-air, and I'm not going to mention any company names, but it parallels what I've been telling you. I've been getting across the board from many storable food companies. The government's buying them out, or they can't meet production quotas, or they're having all kinds of issues with transportation costs, and they're being driven out of business or driven to a very low production level. And right now at MPS, we're still meeting demand, but I don't know how long that's going to go on for. The government wants to control all food so they can control you. We're going to give you an obstacle at a greatly reduced price. They have not raised prices. I cannot believe they still have sales, but they do. Restaurant quality food, it's high calorie. You want high calorie because you're trying to stay alive. And 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And I'm worried about taking down the grid. My broadcast partner on the Doug and Dave Intel Report, Doug Thornton, has said that's our glass jaw. And it certainly is. And my former congressman, Trent Franks, you know, wrote monumental letters to Obama saying, get off your butt and do something about the grid. And he did. He did the grid X drills and told the Chinese how to take our grid down, and the Russians too, by letting them participate in the drills. So, ladies and gentlemen, if the grid comes down, and I probably should say when it comes down, are you going to have water? No. What will you have to do? Scavenge. What do you need? Water filtration. Well, I represent what, on research, on paper, they say is the best out there. There's a lot of good companies with a lot of good water filtration systems, but this is among the best. But the problem is I'm the last vendor in the United States. They stopped selling because they thought they were out. They have no way to replace. And they're in a position now where they found some in the supply chain, and they may be the lone vendor until they're gone. And when they're gone, they're gone. The Alexa Pure Pro water filter has proven itself many times. They have not raised prices either, and they still have a special. While supplies last, there is no limit. I recommend a water filter per person in your family. Why? Because what if you have to travel any kind of distance? Maybe you have to walk a half a mile to a lake. I mean, if you need volume at that point in time, one is not going to do it. And as they say, three is two, two is one is none. I recommend one per family member. Why? You can get them. Go to waterwithdave.com. That's waterwithdave.com. And one more. How many of you have all of your assets in the bank? Your 401k, you say? That's in the bank. Your IRA? Yeah. What happens when they falter, right? When they fail? Everything goes up in smoke. You know, it's funny. I was spending the weekend with my niece, and we were going through old family albums, dividing things up in preparation for her move. And, wow, we had some really rich relatives on my mom's side. The Depression wiped them out. I don't want that to happen to you. So you need to call Noble Gold, because they'll show you how they can protect your IRA. They'll show you how you should diversify and just keep operating capital in the bank. They will help you have a softer landing. No one's going to have a soft landing, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. But how you can have a softer landing, I am a customer of Noble Gold. You should be too. Go to goldbeforelate.com to get free material, and then you'll have to call them because they're not pushy. Goldbeforelate.com. Well, we're going to go to Bob Griswold before it is too late, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. Bob, welcome to the show. I hope that you had, with the day gone by now, an enjoyable Father's Day. I know I did. How was yours?
Well, Dave, you know, went to church and always spent time with my family. I have three boys, so, you know, my youngest son, all of them, you know, just told me how much I influenced their life and how much I meant to them. And, you know, it's humbling to hear those things, you know, because my philosophy is there's really no such thing as a good parent. And let me qualify that. We all, good parents, we all, no matter what it is, we don't have an instruction manual, so to speak. You know, we have the Bible. We tell them to be faithful. We tell them to tell the truth. So we do the best we can. We pour our hearts into it. And in the end, gosh, you know, God does the rest. And I look right now as such a blessed man that I have three sons serving the Lord. My youngest son is getting ready to be married. We love his future wife. And so, you know, I could not be a more blessed man than I am now. You know, I've done a lot of things in life. And some of you know, some I can talk about, some of I can't. But nothing is what I would say takes the place of being a successful father and husband. It's my greatest reward in life, and I just want to wish all the fathers out there who pour time into their children's lives, you know, who mentor them, and we see what happens when it doesn't happen, you know, in the black community where the liberal, you know, welfare system has destroyed fatherhood. You know, young men need, young men, I was one time ago when, you know, T-Rex used to roam planet, you know, we have these strong passions, you know, we have a lot of testosterone flowing around our bodies. And, you know, without the guidance and oversight of a good father who can temper those, we can go off in bad tangents real quick, you know, because we have such passion that all the, you know, hormones and flowing in our body bring. So to fathers that have invested the time, that have helped temper young men, I just say kudos to you. Kudos, because that's what we need so bad in this country, fathers who are strong men, good leaders, fathers who pull the string, not try to push it, and fathers who are not, you know, they're not absent on duty, AWOL, the fathers who have invested their time in their children. God bless you. I mean, I mean that. God bless you, because you have done a very, very noble thing. And the same thing to the mothers out there. I mean, you know, Dave, there's a quote by a guy named William Wallace, not the Braveheart guy, William Ross Wallace. And it says, "She who rocks the cradle rules the nation." It's a poem. You can read it. William Ross Wallace, "She who rocks the cradle rules the nation." And we just so underestimate the value of that. You know, the liberal whack jobs say, you know, it's a community effort to raise children. No, it's not. It's a parental issue. God mandates the mother and father to raise children, and that's what we need to be today, mentoring our children. Because literally, when you rock the cradle, and you mean when you take care of it, your children grow up to rule the nations.
Oh, I agree with that. But here, we're rocking the cradle, and we encourage that. But now, we're going to take a turn, and we're going to rock the boat. Because
yes,
there's a lot going
excellent,
on in our country
analogy
right now that is not good. It's not good, ladies and gentlemen. And we love all of you, and we are decidedly Christian on this show. And Bob alluded to that. Thank you very much, Bob. We are decidedly Christian. We are pro-America. America first. Darn it. To heck with Merrick Garland calling me a domestic terrorist. He's a traitor. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Griswold is going to tell us something about teacher certification in the state of Minnesota. And this is close to my heart because I'm a former educator. I've taught everything from ninth grade to postgraduate. Bob, what's going on there?
Well, this is a story. I started reading it maybe, you know, the bottom of the hour, about 6:30. Actually, I picked it up at 7:30 here my time. But it's on the Liberty Sentinel, libertysentinel.org. And it talks about coming soon to Minnesota, teachers must demonstrate a Marxist worldview to obtain their teaching certificate. And this is what I tell people. You always ask, and what do we need to be doing? The decisions that we're faced are going to be hard decisions, you know, coming out of the system. And I understand the difficulties, especially for single parents. It's going to be very, very difficult. And this is where we must join together, because making educational co-ops so we can put our children in, so that we can get them out of this system. Because the education system today has proven itself to be completely perverse, completely Marxist, and its one goal is not so children can go up and understand a quadratic equation or the special theory of relativity or, you know, any scientific fact. How many moons does Jupiter have? That's nothing to do with that. Everything they geared around is the sexual exploitation of their children and you know, turning your child into a good Marxist. And the Babylon Bee did a parody on it the other day. You know, one thing parents miss when they homeschool is their children don't get a chance to become a gay communist.
You caught me off guard with that one. But no, amen to that, my brother. Amen to that. I love the Babylon Bee. I love them.
Yeah, well, that's not my material. That's theirs, so I want to make her accredited.
Yeah,
but it says
funny.
Here, I'm just reading from the article, the Minnesota Teachers Licensing Board called the Professional Educators Licensing and Standard Board. Each member was appointed by Governor Walz and is fast-tracking its new teacher requirements. The new standards will be embedded in basic Marxist principles such as critical race theory, sexual fluid identity, and gender politics in all Minnesota schools. So we see this happening. Now, with that, I want to set some bookmarks, you know, bookends, mm-hmm. On this program tonight, because, you know, again, we want to understand the beginning and the ends. We want to understand what's going on, as I said last time. You know,
Bob,
I talked
before,
about
before you go down that road, you know, back up. How do you demonstrate a Marxist worldview according to the credentialing system for teachers in Minnesota?
Well, I mean, again, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. There's no more individuality.
Is this an essay that they have to write, though, Bob?
Yeah, Marxism is group thought, group vote, you know, majority thought. It's the Bill of Rights were, they said it best in the Middle Ages, the law, instead of the law is king, which that's the Bill of Rights, the king is law. Now, you could replace king with majority. So the majority becomes law. And what they want to do is turn everybody into a co-op, that you can't excel as an individual, you have to excel as a group. And what that does is it takes the cream of the crop, the higher, you know, the people that were gifted with higher intellect, and has to pull them down so that everybody's the same. Because in a Marxist situation, you can't have people that excel. You have to have everything the same. You can't have anything that people are, you know, physically. I've read, you know, in their principles that biceps, boys that have biceps, that's racist. Because I'm being serious. Biceps are sexist and racist.
Yeah, well, Doug Thornton's in big trouble then. he's got some of the biggest biceps I've ever seen. But Bob, before you leave that point, though, this is so, so important, though. I was thinking about this today. You're getting into the area of toxic masculinity, and this is so important connected to Father's Day. That I'm going to say something to you liberals who might hear this broadcast where you tune out. You may hate toxic masculinity. You may hate Doug Thornton's biceps, his war record, his service to the government in terms of DHS and what he did and how he stood up to Antifa. You may hate that. But when the Chinese come a-calling, you'll say, where are all the men? Toxic masculinity will save your life.
That's precisely right. You know, I had a friend, a very good friend, who was in law enforcement. A Marine guy, very, what you consider type A personality. And they kicked him off the police force because they said he was too, they drummed up a reason. I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to give any identification to it. But he got kicked off the police force after a long and distinguished career because he was too toxic. As a man, and you know what that means. He was a man, and they kicked him off the force.
Wow.
So, but again, I want to bookmark this with what we're going to talk about tonight by two scriptures. Okay, first of all, you know, Noah being warned of things to come, moved with godly fear. We always accused of being fear mongers, and I am a fear monger, but not in the sense that, you know, the Chicken Little fear monger. I'm a fear monger saying, listen. God says this is coming. You better fear it. It's not, you know, some abstract fear. I'm telling you, God is going to bring judgment on this world, and unless you fall in line with the pattern that God has given, you're going to fall under that. And if you know, the Bible says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty as in judgment. You know, and so for all the years that Noah was preaching the gospel, the preaching of repentance, but while the ark was being built, you know, nobody listened. And what do you think Noah was preaching all those years? Do you think he was preaching to the antediluvians? Listen, We serve a God. It's your best life now, guys. You know, God wants to give you health, wealth, and prosperity. God loves you. I mean, can you imagine if you took the gospel a day and try to juxtapose that on Noah, that's what he preached to the antediluvian world, that the things that you know, the so-called, you know, shepherds of the sheep preach today to the people who are claimants, as Steve Grail calls them, you know, the people who want to just sit in church and hear the good stuff. You know, he preached repentance to them. He preached judgment coming. And anybody who heard that could have done something about it while the ark was being built. You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. And they didn't. And so when the judgment came, and this is what we're going to be seeing here, and I think in a very, very short period of time, Dave, you know, oh my gosh, Noah was right. Hodges was right. Quayle was right. Thornton was right. You know, the ark, I should have listened. I want to get on the ark. But the door's closed. And there'll be no second chance at that point once the door closes. And they'll be banging on the door to get in. Just like the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all looked alike until the day came when the bridegroom came. And the 5 foolish ones were like, let me in. Give me some of your stuff. Nope, I don't have enough if you do. And so Noah, we have to understand, so when you listen to Hodges or any of the Adams, whatever, talking this, you know, it is the message of the day. It might not be stuff you want to hear. It's not the false gospel of prosperity of you know, God owes you everything. It's the truth. Now, you can choose to listen to the truth or not. And on the other side of that, in the book of Kings, it was Jehoshaphat. And so the king said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. That's what he said. I hate him because he does not prophesy good things, but evil. And so that's what we're hearing. Hey, listen, I want somebody to preach something good to me. I want to hear good stuff, you know. I don't want to hear this judgment stuff. And so, you know, that's where everybody's at today. Now, I'd say the people listening to this program, that might resonate with them. So let's just take a few minutes of time we have, and let's look. You know, Dave, if we look at cracks in the system, you know, it speaks a lot. You see stress cracks. You know, I used to be a building contractor. And I remember, you know, you could see stress cracks in the concrete, if you poured concrete and something didn't go well. In fact, I remember in Florida when I was a building contractor, you know, there's this building, it was called Harbor K, they were building it, and they were going a little fast, and the stress cracks started developing, you know, throughout the whole structure because the concrete didn't have time to harden enough. And by the time they got to the fifth floor, the building couldn't handle the weight anymore. And there was people working in all of those floors, and boom, 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 down it came, and there was a death toll involved. And I forgot the name of the, remember that condominium that just collapsed about a year ago?
Yes.
And they saw all the stress cracks developing, people were living in it, and it just, was it 300 people died? I forgot what it was, but boom, 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 it came down. People ignored the stress cracks. You know, this building's been here for a long time. It can't fall down. Dave, do you remember the name of that building, the one condominium in South Florida that just...
There was also some controversy attached to that, too, because they thought it was a cover-up of evidence that was stored there related to a criminal event. But yes, I do remember, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah, so, but anyhow, there were stress cracks throughout the building, and as a former general contractor, I know what those things, that you can have minor stress cracks or you can have major stress cracks. Both those buildings that came down developed major stress cracks. So if we look at our system today, do we have minor stress cracks or do we have catastrophic stress cracks? You know, and so I want to be Noah. I want to preach to you or share with you, that's probably a better word, that judgment is coming to this nation, and it's going to be catastrophic, and to the world, okay? The whole world is going to come under this, and there will be people out there that say, you know, they never preach anything good, it's always bad, you know, but we move with holy fear, and when we do, you know, I'm sure Noah was accused of being, oh my gosh, Noah's at it again, but, you know, in the end, who saved his family and all the people that lost their family. So you can have a judgmental attitude towards a message of judgment, or you can say, does this resonate with God's word? Does it resonate with it? Does it have the mark of truth to it? Even though I might not like it, does it have the mark of truth? So let's look at some of the stress cracks in the system.
Okay.
And Dave, this should go right up your alley, because I think this is your field of profession. Mental health. Are there stress cracks in the mental health system and the mental stability and in this country today, Dave? Do you see, I mean, as a psychologist, do you see stress cracks throughout the whole system of our from young people all the way to the old people? Are there stress cracks that show this nation is mentally unhealthy? Would you care to answer that?
Well, not only that, some of the people who I trained with a long, long time ago to provide mental health services, I hear from some of them occasionally, and they would love to come on my show and talk about what's going on, but they're afraid the insurance companies will cancel them, so they don't. But yes, the short answer is yes.
What are some of the signs of mental health issues? What are some of the signs that would see when you'd say
early on,
yes.
It's
external, or even late on,
externalization of anger is early, and this is why I think we're seeing so many road rage incidences and trouble in stores and people fighting each other over positions in line. That's kind of the beginning where your stress begins to overflow. But also, too, if you have genetic tendencies towards certain disorders, depression, bipolar, whatever it could be, prolonged stress can actually bring that out. And right now, since we have 2/3 of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, we have a lot of exacerbating effects of stress that's showing up in mental health.
What would you say about a nation whose mental health denies the obvious reality of truth? I mean, you know, boys can be girls can be boys. I mean, what's up and down? I mean, is that, would that be a sign of a catastrophic health issue if you were to deny the basic reality of science-proven facts?
I would say it this way. Denial is kind of like using your credit card to pay your monthly bills. Eventually, you pay the fiddler. You can keep the problem at bay for a while by denial, but eventually it hits you like a boomerang in the face.
And what would you say about a society that we are the largest consumer of mental health drugs on the planet? Would that be an indicator that the society is not healthy?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, so much... Okay, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy, those five need levels everyone's seen that's adapted for so many uses, but at the bottom of that, to achieve good success in life, just to achieve normalcy, to survive, at the bottom are your basic needs. And right now, the Biden administration's economic policies are threatening our basic needs, and that's the core of your security, the core of your mental health. And yes, it's exacerbating, and it's only going to get worse. But I will tell you this, when you do this in a prolonged fashion to a large group of people, you're actually satisfying one of the precursors for civil war.
Well, that's a point I was going to bring it up. It's precisely right. I mean, we have a deluded society and a society that is so mentally unstable. Dave, I have never seen, like you said, road rage, anger, violence, the denial of reality, and then they have to mask it all with drugs. So we don't have a lot of time to hit each subject, but I want to just go through the subjects, because when you add them up, it's not a linear thing. It's exponential. When you start adding all these things, each one exacerbates the other. Education. I mean, we see major cracks in the educational system today. I mean, it has gone away from teaching the theory of relativity or how many planets, moons Jupiter has, you know, light year, what's the freezing temperature of water, the history of our country. We don't teach those things anymore. I mean, it is a complete just breakdown of basic education, teaching students the most ridiculous things in the world. I mean, education is a system where the educational systems say, listen, you know what's really important? Not that students could add, but what's really important, we've got to put tampons in the boys' bathroom.
I mean, again,
that goes back to the first issue. But so education in this country has completely broken down. Just my public school education, when I went to, you know, school basically starting, I guess, in, you know, early 1960s all the way up until I graduated high school in 1974, I think I got a fairly good education, because history classes taught history, science classes taught science, math, I mean, I learned what a quadratic quadratic equation is and learned how to figure them out, you know, pi, square, root, all the stuff. I learned all that stuff. Today, kids don't learn it. They have no clue. And I talk to them. When I meet a high school kid today, I just it's interrogation by conversation. Just start asking them some questions about their math class. What do you learn? And it's just like, oh, my gosh, they don't know anything. And so that's point two, the finance. Are we seeing complete catastrophic breakdown of the financial system of not only the United States, but the world, the cryptocurrency breaking down, the monetary system, we're deep, deep, deep in debt, inflation. You know, the whole financial system has come crumbling around us. And when I want to reference this back to Babylon, there comes a day that the future Antichrist empire of Babylon comes crumbling down, crashing down, and that's when everybody, all the merchants of the earth, stand back and go, oh my gosh, the world's destroyed. Who's going to buy our stuff anymore? Because the whole system's then been destroyed, and it's based on finance. Dave, you know, so that's point three, finance. Point four, water. This country and world are running out of potable water, especially where you're at. We're having a once in a thousand year, crisis with water. And Lake Powell's at its lowest level, ever, I think, since then Hoover Dam has been built. And then on the other hand, you might see extreme water. What happened in Montana and that? I mean, there's water issues everywhere. In fact, there's been times when even bottled water has run out. You haven't been able to get it, which the other thing, so that's the other thing, the food system. Is the food system breaking down? Are there cracks in the food delivery system in this country between the dead animals, the bird flu? It's killed 70 million chickens just in the United States. China, if we remember back, which our collective memory is probably, you know, 3 or 4 days with the internet, but how many pigs? A quarter of the world's pigs were destroyed a few years ago because of swine flu. And then we see all this beef dying now, along with the, the anti-protein people. What is it? Well, I can think of an acronym for them. Anti-protein people, the people want us to eat, not meat protein, beef protein, chicken protein, fish protein, or pork protein. I mean, they want us to eat bug-proof protein. So,
you're right. You know, that's why they're taking away the meat.
Well, that's exactly right. And then, you know, all the recalls, oh, my gosh, 10 million pounds of steak found to have something wrong with it. And so, yeah, where'd you destroy that meat, by the way? So you recalled all that meat. Let me just fill me in. Where'd you burn it all? We destroyed it. We had to incinerate the food. What, do we use this incinerator here, yada, yada, yada? No, I mean, we buried it. Nothing. It's just, all this meat had to be destroyed because it had some bug, possibly, and it just disappears. We don't know what happens to it. Peanut butter. Now, I just read the other day there's a peanut butter shortage coming. So on every level, we see the destruction of our food system, the cracks in the whole food system. So, I mean, so far, mental health, education, finance, water, food. Dave, is the peace of the world, is there cracks in the peace of the world? When I mean peace, I mean, you know, lack the war. I mean, do we see the war, cracks, the world going on to a war footing right now?
No, there's not cracks, my friend. There's the Grand Canyon. I mean, we're on the verge of World War III.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, this isn't just the United States, because I really do, first and foremost, I mean, I have to always go back and see what conquered Rome. Was it Barabbas with his sword? Was it some militia group bringing it into the future concerning the New World Order? Is it some militia group that is going to, you know, take their AR-15s and stuff and attack and regain America? Or was it what back in the Roman days was the preaching of the 12 given to them by Jesus, what eventually overcame and destroyed the Roman Empire, brought it crumbling down because the gospel of peace really won out in the end? It wasn't the sword that beat Rome. It was the message of peace. And that's why I'm at today. But with that said, because that's my position, is, you know, attacking the government and thinking you'd overturn the government because we're going to have some militia raise up against them and shoot them all. Have fun dreaming that one up. What's going to overcome them in the end is, first of all, is the returning Jesus Christ when he slays them all by the power of his word.
Amen.
But they can't handle the message of peace. They hate the message of peace. They hate me telling God came to earth as a man in the form of Jesus Christ, and he preached the gospel, and he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And the message of peace that we preach, that peace between God and man through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that peace between me and my black brothers, my Asian brothers, my Mexican brothers, my Native American brothers, they can't handle that. Oh, you got to hate these people. They're different color than you are. You got to hate them. They don't like you, and you don't like them. That's the message that I listen to at the World. I mean, you remember Hunter Biden? Have him on tape. Throwing out the N-word a bunch of times. Do you remember that one, Dave?
Well, his dad, Joe, wasn't far behind when he talked about racial integration of schools.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he basically referred to him as a lower life form. Well, he didn't basically do it. He did do it. One over and over again, he's insinuated that African-American people are less intelligent than other race people, and I want to state that I categorically deny that. What I admit is the lack of fathers will translate absolutely in a society to the development of children, especially males. The lack of fatherhood, and today is probably the liberals' worst day ever. They hate Father's Day because they want the family to break down, because it gives them the ability to exploit and to make more laws because, oh, we got to control these people. We need laws to do it. And so that's what we see, and that's why they destroy fatherhood. So we see peace leaving the earth, the big crack there. How about faith, Dave? Did you see the article recently that the largest number ever of Americans have said they don't believe in God? And that's a huge one. I mean, you know, when you have nations that deny God, as the Black Book of Communism says, you have a lot of body bags that kind of follow that. Godless states have one thing in common, a lot of body bags. I think that's the quote out of the Black Book of Communism. So we're seeing faith on all levels being destroyed in this nation, cracks in it. I mean, no biblical orthodoxy is out. Now, we can't have that anymore. And we have to have entertainment. We have to have, all the stuff going on. We have to understand it and kind of like go along, adapt the principles of the world, and have dog and pony shows up on the stage, but not the preaching. People don't want to hear Orthodox Christianity. That's so old. I mean, we're more enlightened than that. And this is basically what has taken over the whole theological system of the United States. All of the theological institutions, whether it's Episcopalian, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, whatever, they're just filled. And it's just not the Catholic Church that's filled with pedophiles. I mean, the Baptists, they just discovered that the Baptists were hiding the same thing. All these preachers and teachers in the Baptist church were, playing hanky panky with the Sunday school kids, and they'd hidden it all. And so we've seen a complete breakdown of the faith of the United States and the world. They no longer, as the Bible says in the end times, want sound doctrine. They want things itching ears. Hey, I've got this special knowledge I can give you. Or, listen, God's not a bad guy. He wants you to have all the fun. I mean, gosh, say you had 10 affairs. It didn't really mean much. I mean, that's what we see. I mean, I'm stunned when I see preachers that are caught in sexually immoral activity, and they go away for a couple weeks and get their healing and come back and preaching in the pulpit again. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. So again, just to recap, so far I'm only halfway through mental health, education, finance, water, peace, faith.
Bob, Dave, I want to go back to.
We are seeing. In fact, there's an article here.
Bob, before you go to that next article, I want to go back to an old topic here, because I'm not sure I would know what to do if I wanted to teach in Minnesota. Not that I do. And I have friends in Minnesota. In fact, some of my sister's in-laws live there. So, love the people. Just absolutely hate their government. But how do you prove you're a Marxist as far as the certification? Did they cover that? Do you have to write an essay? Do you have to raise your right hand and promise to serve Satan or Stalin?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to do patterns of life study on you. They're going to look at all your your social media activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to look at what church you go to. They'll look at where you spend your money. I mean, the patterns of life, you cannot get away from your patterns of life, okay? What you do, what you buy, what you say, where you go, all those things are going to come in, and they're going to look at you and go, hey, you know, you go to, you know, True Faith Church. And you know, do you know what they preach? That homosexuality is wrong. You know, you donated money to the Republican Party, Donald Trump. We never saw this happen. You know, you gave money to truckers that just didn't want to have tyranny. Do you know that? You don't. That doesn't meet the criteria to be a teacher. So that's how it'll be done. I mean, you know, you can't get away from the patterns of life. And so all of you, they'll break you down socially, mentally, everywhere, how you spend your money, and that'll be the criteria. And we see it happening already. If you at all don't hold the woke ideology, you know, Dave, I don't hate, you know, people of homosexual nature. I understand it's wrong, and it is wrong. It goes against what God says. It goes against nature. A society that practice that and hold would be a dying society because you don't reproduce. And so it's not that I hate them. It's just this is science, and it's science 101. And you know, I mean, the CDC has all kinds of things of people who practice that lifestyle. You know that, and I don't wish them any ill will. I want to see best for people. So in my thing, the best is, I mean, if I see a kid playing with matches, I don't. You know, I don't sit there and go, have fun playing with the matches. I say, listen, you're probably not ready to play with those matches yet, and you might burn yourself or burn the house down because you just don't know how to handle fire, and fire is dangerous. So, I mean, if I warn somebody, I mean, you know, if I warned you driving down the street with your eyes closed, might not be the best thing to do. You know, that's horrible. How dare you tell, what are you purchasing against blind people? I mean, that's what it does. And so, you know, you just understand that is the way it is. And so, again, you know, the next point is the energy system in this world breaking down. I mean, do you see the energy of this world? I mean, we're running out of fuel. And we haven't seen at all what diesel fuel is going to do, which diesel controls the entire delivery system in the United States, from trains, planes, automobiles, and, you know, tractor trailers. And so that's breaking down. And it's not breaking down. They're breaking it. I mean, they're dynamiting it. They're actually actively dynamiting the delivery mechanism. And this is the thing I want to say, Dave. You know, let's just pick a particular thing, trucking. Okay, let's just say I destroy trucking. So the tire companies don't need to make those big tires anymore because not too many trucks are going. So that company retools and starts making something else out. The people that make the boxes, you know, that trucks deliver on, the big diesel engines, the tractor trailers, all the little components that go into making a tractor trailer. You know, all of a sudden you go from, say, you have 1 million units on the road to maybe 50,000 units on the road. That whole industry collapses. It's not that you know, okay, well, we need to make 1 million tractor trailers again. The whole system that makes those tractor trailers has retooled or gone out of business and is doing something else. So you cannot just overnight say, well, let's make another 1 million tractor trailers, and, you know, 30 days later you have 1 million more tractor trailers on the job. It would take decades to fix that system, because you have to have everybody go back and retool to make that all that stuff. You know, again, you know, just an example is, you know, rebuilding a Saturn V engine. All that technology has been lost. I was reading today that you could not build another Saturn V engine because there was a lot of stuff that wasn't even written down on making that engine, and those people that have made it are long gone. And so that technology is gone, and it would take time to rebuild that technology. And so it's when you destroy a system like shipping, tractor trailers, air traffic, whatever it is, it's destroyed. So we see this energy sector of the world being destroyed, and that is going to cascade into everything. So another big crack, agriculture. Do we see agricultural cracks in the system?
Yeah.
Failure of crops, destruction of crops, and I'm going to have to pick it up here. How about livestock, Dave? Are there cracks in the livestock? How many, again, pigs? They had a quarter of the world's pigs died.
What do you think killed those cattle in Kansas?
I'm conjecturing. I mean, you know, I've listened to several people, you know, livestock farmers that said, you know, my cows in Texas had the same heat. They did the same thing, and they said, you know, there's protocols that you put in place that when the heat gets there, first of all, you stop feeding them grain. Fescue grass is also bad. So they said there's protocols you do, and you go and you take a tanker truck full of water and kind of water, you know, hose them down just so they can dry out, cool off better. But there's protocols because each of those cows are $2,000-$3,000. I mean, I just bought a cow, Dave, and paid $2,000 for it. It was a heifer, and she's pregnant, so I wanted the cow, and I bought it for $2,000. So it's just not like, oh, the cow died today. That's a big investment for me, you know. I've got a cow, and I bought a bull, and those are big investments. I take care of them. I go down there, and if I see the animals in stress, I'll call the vet. Make sure they have water. And as it is hotter out there, I don't give them as much grain, more hay, because that doesn't generate as much internal heat in the animal. So there's protocols you take care of. And this isn't just one farm that's breaking this down. It's multiple farmers have lost livestock. So, I mean, to consider that all those livestock farmers that know the protocols to take care of animals under heat all just said, well, the hell with it, you know, we're going to all die. I don't believe that. You know, one thing I will say is, you know, when most people talk about biological weapons, we think of, you know, oh my gosh, smallpox, Ebola, you know, I mean, even monkeypox now, look at this. But we fail to understand that the biological weapons programs of the United States, Russia, China, you know, they have basically biological weapons. It's a trinity, an unholy trinity of how they develop biological weapons. They develop blights that can attack corn, wheat, all this thing. So you can have a big blight that destroys the grains of a society. Then you have animal biological weapons. So they might not affect people, but they'll kill cows. They're very specific, kill pigs, kill chickens, like bird flu, 70 million chickens dead. We don't know the genesis of that. I suspect it probably came from the king of the east, you know, China. I suspect a lot of it comes out of there. And then obviously we have the human biological weapons, which we see this retooling of the monkeypox that's, you know, supposed to be coming out of control, going out of control. But I think it's really specifically to one category of people that are getting the majority of it. But, you know, again, you know, going back to Genesis, if you read these are all the judgments of God. Again, how out of vogue, how Neanderthal to say God judgment, you know, that's not the God I serve. You know, the God I serve is, gosh, he got a long white beard, he has a red suit on, and he throws presents out. How dare you? I mean, that's what modern theology teaches God is, but if you read the Holy Scripture, you understand that God does bring judgment on nations that sin. So we see the agriculture and livestock energy system breaking down. Dave, how about communications? You know, our ability to talk and electricity. I'll combine the two together. Or, you know, you take electricity away, and all of a sudden, I turn the time machine on. I become H.G. Wells. I turn the time machine from 2022 to 1822. Oof, I do a real quick H.G. Wells and zoom the clock back 200 years. Because without electricity, you literally go 200 years past in the back. I mean, everything comes to a quick and abrupt end. You can't even live in most of the buildings they build today without electricity because there's no air circulation without the big motors that run the air circulation. The air becomes stagnant and probably unbearably hot or unbearably cold, depending on where you live. Fungus and mold would grow everywhere because you're not dehydrating the air, and that all that moisture would allow. So all these buildings would not be inhabitable. You know, we develop houses. I mean, in the 18th century houses, the ceilings were all 10 to 12 feet tall. So in the summer, the heat went up, and you didn't sit there and live in that unbearable heat. But today, you know, you have houses that are not designed for cross breeze and all that, so your house would become untenable. No electricity, no air, no refrigeration, no communication. I mean, obviously, no delivery of food, no refrigeration. I mean, like I said, the refrigeration, even on a commercial scale as far as supermarkets. And we see the breakdown. We're being told, Dave, this isn't conjecture. We're being told, expect electricity shortages. I mean, how far is the Hoover Dam away from, and I want you to answer this question, how far is the Hoover Dam away right now from where it can't make electricity?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know it's critical because they're finding dead mafia bodies in that body of water from drying up.
Yeah, and so and we just see it, and obviously no new nuclear power plants are being built. There's a war against coal. Coal-fired plants are coming under thing. And at the same time, we see all these mysterious burning down of food delivery. And how long, Dave, before it starts going into the critical infrastructure? They're burning the food facilities down, but do you know how vulnerable our water supply, our food supply is, which we already see the food supply, but electricity, in the movie Rambo, he just goes up there and takes his M60 and starts shooting those transformers up on poles, and it turns the whole community off he's attacking. And so, you know, all that substations and all that are extremely vulnerable to terrorism. And with that said, Dave, you talk about mentally unstable. Did you see the poll recently that 50% of Democrat males under 50 believe that political assassinations are okay?
Yeah, I saw that. It's
yeah.
Scary.
So, and if they do that, they have plans, and I know the good people in federal law enforcement are showing that these leftist groups have plans to attack our infrastructure and to bring it down. So, I mean, that electricity you take so for granted, the communications you take so for granted, I'm telling you, it's coming down. And again, going back, Bob Griswold never says anything good. I hate him. Well, I'm sorry. This is the word of God, and the good news is that God gives you an alternate. You know, Jesus warned. He said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded about by armies, hey, get out of there, because there's coming a time that's going to be very, very bad if you stay. See, the God I serve, the God of the Bible, does bring the judgment, but for those who listen to his voice, he always prepares an ark. He prepared Joseph to prepare, to prepare food for her nation. He warns over and over again. Jeremiah warned the people, and when Israel did fall, Jeremiah was spared. And so we see over and over again God protecting his people. Psalm 91, we all like to say, God, oh, my thousand will flee in my hand, I'll be under his wing, all this other stuff, all the promises of Psalm 91. Wow, I that's me. But it says, he that dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. We have to dwell there.
Well, you just hit a really good suggestion there, and this is where I want to go next, because we can't cover everything, Bob, in one segment, but we got a pretty good cross-section about how they're taking away the support systems necessary for life. So what's your recommendation to people? Kind of prioritize your answer here. What would you say? Walking with God, obviously, is number one. He will not depart from you. But what should we be doing from a practical standpoint?
Okay, again, and I cannot stress what you just said. Getting your heart right with the Lord God, because he will protect you. And letting him infuse you with truth and courage at this time, because that's the only way you're going to stand. Nobody in hell is ever going to say, I had 2 pair of night vision, but now I'm roasting in hell, but at least I had 2 pair. No, that's a conversation that's never going to happen. So with that said, I just want to say, listen, let's go back to the scripture and see how he told people to prepare for judgment. One was to flee. And I would put that as a big umbrella. Are you living in a city that could be very dangerous if you're living in it? You can say, well, I can't leave. Well, I mean, if you don't leave, you might be somebody's breakfast one day. And I mean that literally, cannibalism. So, I mean, when you can't flee, I can't leave, Lot's wife, biblical example. She didn't want to leave Sodom, And because she left everything, I had to leave everything behind, my friends, my stuff, I had to leave it behind. Well, she couldn't make the transition, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She lost her life. So you can make that decision yourself, whether you flee the systems of this world. Two, Joseph and Noah, they prepared with food, water, and supplies. It's not rocket scientists. Science, it's biblical truth, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to look at the things that we use every day. And this is, again, why they want to take weapons away from people. I would say buy as many box-fed magazines, 30-round magazines, you can buy either for AK or AR. Make sure that you acquire a fair amount of ammunition for those two calibers, some 9mm, 45 for a pistol, shotgun shells for a shotgun, and then practice with it. I would set up an alternate, you know, system of communication, because that's one thing I promise you is going to be taken away from us. The ability to communicate, cell phones turned off, and they can do it very easily. Just look at when the president's in town, they turn off all cell phones in the area where he's at, so you couldn't set off a phone bomb or whatever while he's there. So, you know, it's not hard to turn down the communication, turn it offline. If you have point-to-point communication, I would recommend doing that, and so getting set up on communication. And then again, you know, maybe with being able to see at night, if you can't see at night, you can't protect at night, you can't defend at night. Night vision is an expensive item, but again, how expensive is it? And when considering what's the alternate, if I can't see at night, I can be victimized at night. I can have all my stuff taken from me at night. Bad people do bad things at night. Night vision, Dave, you've got it. It's scary how good you can see with it. I mean, it is that good. So I just can't emphasize enough the need to get those things. And then, you know, some medical supplies. And I don't mean just boo-boo and Band-Aid stuff. I mean, you know, see if you can pick up some antibiotics. Okay. Make sure you have triple antibiotic creams, stuff for burns, burn gels, bandages, getting those things, just having a decent first aid kit. And then develop a mindset, you know. This is where turning the TV set comes on so much. You know, I'm not going to listen.
You mean turning it off?
Yeah, turning off the TV set. I don't want to watch as the world pukes. Now, I will say this. I mean, on YouTube, you can still watch some very, very good videos. I just bought a little device sitting on my desk. I don't know Morse code very well, but it's this little thing. It's made by MFJ. And what it does is I have a little keyboard. I type my keyboard. I can put it in memory, and it'll send it out in a burst in Morse code. So how many people do you think it can type and understand Morse code at 100 words per minute?
That's pretty good.
Not many.
That's
not
really
many.
Good.
Yeah, and I can save my message, type it in, put it in the memory, and then burst send it out at 100 words per minute. Now, there's a video online showing how to use that piece of equipment. So instead of watching As the World Pukes, I've been watching that and practicing with that new little device I got. And, you know, between a friend that maybe has the same unit, and we're sending messages back and forth, totally legal, at 100 words per minute. And it can still be broken because somebody could record it and slow it down. But generally, that's probably not going to be the thing. And so it allows me to send and receive CW. I'm learning that. And so those communication skills I learn will save my life. Listen, we're watching a bunch of perversion on TV in any way prepare me for what's coming. No, it's going to numb me to what's coming, because all of a sudden I start thinking wickedness is like, well, you know, laugh at it, it's kind of cool. But, you know, that's going to really dull you. I want to turn that stuff off and then start training my mind. You know, and it might not be just radio, but, you know, I grow organic food. We're going to give away a bunch of onions to our church. We have a bunch of cabbage we're going to give away to our church. Our broccoli crop has come and gone. But Dave, I was out there this morning picking my breakfast, blueberries, fresh blueberries right off the trees, bushes, and eating them. You know, and that's really neat to be able to do that. I grow things like turmeric. In fact, I sent some turmeric to Mike Adams, and he had it analyzed because he wanted to see how Griswold does it. And he called me up and said, Bob, that turmeric you sent me has the least chemical contamination of any turmeric I've ever looked at. And you know why I know that? Do you know how I know how to do that? Because I learned and put it into practice over years. I've been gardening for decades. And I've learned things. So I've turned the TV set off a long time ago. In fact, we got rid of cable 25 years ago. And haven't ever had it since. So those are things that we need to be doing right now. And I'm saying, it's getting late. Dave, do you know why I can eat those blueberries? Because I planted them 10 years ago. Do you know I'm going to have a bumper crop of pears this year? Because I planted those trees 25 years ago. Pears, apples, peaches.
What about people that only have months left to prepare, though?
There's some things. The only thing you can do at this point, you can learn some gardening if you have gardening, mm-hmm. and you can try hit and miss doing it, getting seeds. But they better call you. They better call somebody to buy food.
I agree. You know, we had Daisy Luther on, and she taught my audience how to garden in your own apartment if you're in a hostile environment.
You might be able to get some chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're... You know, I wouldn't live in an HOA. I'd never live in one because it's just too restrictive. I don't care how nice and fancy the house looked and how many swimming pools it had or whatever. You know, I live in Bill Hill. Whoa. You know, that wouldn't bother me.
No, listen, we're right there with you. We're right there with you. We won't do HO either. Yeah.
When I mean Pill Hill, I mean, you know, that's where all doctors live. I wouldn't want to live there.
Bob, we got about 30 seconds left, and I think you've given a pretty good cross-section. Ladies and gentlemen, I know some of you are going to replay some of this, and you're going to start taking notes, and you should, because he gave you a good cross-section right here, about as good as you're going to hear in the time we have available. But, Bob, in 20 seconds, tell people how they can contact you, and let's emphasize the fact that you'll talk to people for nothing, too.
Absolutely. Call me tomorrow, Monday morning. 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. All preparation plans aren't the same. A lot comes into where you live, all family structure, all that comes into making a good plan. And my website's readymaderesources.com. Dave, I really would like to take a program and just delve into all the different means that you can communicate.
We're
and the ways
that,
that you can maybe protect your communications from other people understanding it and deciphering it, what you can do to use communication to your advantage,
well,
because I'm telling you, it is a powerful weapon.
Bob, we are flat out of time, but let's do that next. That's a great suggestion. Bob, thanks for joining us. Good stuff. Folks, you really want to dissect this and then share it. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And thank you, Bob.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.